I'm telling you what. Who's excited to be here this morning? You guys are like rowdy. The 9 o'clock. I got to tell the 11 o'clock on you guys. Like, I'm like, you guys come at 11, like, hey. 9 o'clock's like, what's up? Let's do this. Come on, let's go. So, hey, we are starting a brand new series next week called You Must Be This Tall to Ride. I do not want to spoil it for you. I just know God is all over the series, and he really wants to encourage our church, if you've been coming for a while, and the people you're going to invite. So this is why I really want to challenge you. We started this church for people who don't do church, who aren't in church yet. You're like, well, Sean, I got a problem with that. Then you have a problem with Jesus because he came to seek and save those who were lost. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes it feels like an adrenaline ride inviting someone to church, right? It's like riding the giant drop. Like, I don't know about inviting people to church. It's scary. Take one of those invite cards. Take it home with you. Pray over it. Find someone you can bring to this series because your invitation could lead to someone else's transformation, and that's what it's all about. So this isn't just a pastor thing. This is a church thing. And as I told someone this morning, hey, we don't just come to church. We are the church, right? It's not this place. So we're going to start that series. I didn't introduce myself yet. My name is Sean Jensen. I have the privilege of leading this church as being your pastor alongside my beautiful wife, Lizzie Jensen, who is over here. Hey, we love you guys. We love you guys. Thank you for that. And I just have a couple things I want to get across first. First off, if you're joining us online, we have an online community who checks out our videos. Thank you for joining us online. We appreciate you. We have a girl in our group on Monday who actually attends in Bloomington online, and then she comes to group on Monday night. Isn't that pretty cool? I heard she's coming at the 11 o'clock, so we got to make sure she feels welcome. Also, I want to say, tomorrow, a lot of you have your days off, and we get to cook out. And don't feel bad cooking out because it's Memorial Day. Some people are like, don't forget why you're cooking out. The whole reason why you can enjoy Memorial Day is because of sacrifice that was paid for us to enjoy it. So please, by God, enjoy Memorial Day because people laid their life down for us to enjoy it. So let's be praying for those people. I know there's family members. I have family members. My Uncle Dick and Aunt Donna, they're celebrating 50 years anniversary. 50 years. Am I right? 50. And he actually served in Vietnam. He was in Nam. I love saying that to him. He was in Nam, and I know that he's still alive, and I'm thankful for that. But some people don't have that because they lost their life for our freedom. So we remember them on Memorial Day, where I'm so glad to be an American. Everyone say America. America. Yeah. And one more thing. I know there's a lot today, but I like doing this. Congratulations, graduates. Come on. You made it. It's Move Up Sunday. Back in the kids, they have confetti cannons. Don't be alarmed when you hear popping going on. We have it under control. They have confetti cannons. They're moving up. But also kindergarten, eighth grade, and then our even college graduates and high school graduates, we want to say congratulations. And we believe the best is yet to come when you put Jesus first. So we're praying for you. Authentic Church loves you. We prayed for you this week. And God has huge things for you. Who's ready to get in the Word? All right. Here we go. Luke 19, 1 through 10, we are going to be talking about a story when Jesus is actually walking through Jericho. Last week we talked about Jericho and how the walls came down. This week we're talking about Jericho, but Jesus is actually walking through it. It's much later after the walls came down. Last week we talked about giving God the first. We talked about money because, you know what, we believe that Jesus talked about money. So we talked about why we believe in the principle of the first. And I believe by your reaction that you guys just took it so well. I love being at a place where you guys are hungry and you want God's best for your life. And whatever that takes, you do it. So that's encouraging. But in this story, Jesus meets this guy named Zacchaeus. And we're going to talk about this encounter and what it has to do with generosity today. Starting in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Very important. He was passing through. Like, that means he was just going through this town. He wasn't meant to stop. He was just passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. No one liked tax collectors at these times. They taxed people for the Roman government, and people didn't like them. They stole from people. They would have sinners and then tax collectors. When Jesus hung out with these people, they would say there were sinners, and then they were tax collectors. The running joke is there's sinners, and then there's Green Bay Packer fans. Wrong crowd. Okay. I should have went with the Cardinals. Anyways, he wanted... Way to lose your entire crowd today, Sean. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. It's like perfect message for Sean to preach. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." I love Jesus's his audacity. I must stay at your house today. He was the person who invited himself to the party. I'm coming over for pizza. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation," which means someone following Christ, "has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," talking about himself, Jesus, "came to seek and save the lost." Jesus said salvation had come. Why? Because of his generous act. Jesus came to seek and save the sinners and the tax collectors. And if you're here today, we're going to talk about generosity and what that looks like. And if this is your first time, I'm not expecting you to come in and say, "Okay, well, he's just asking me to give all these things and do this." If it's your first time and you maybe don't even believe in the Bible and you're trying to figure this thing out, we're glad you came. We're glad that you're here. We say you can belong before you believe. But you come long enough, I'm telling you, we have some Jesus freaks in here who just love Jesus, and they'll get all, their joy will fall over. You'll be like, "What is on this place? What is happening here?" It's Jesus. And he does this to people. And people change their lives, and they give away everything they own, and we love it. So we're not going to apologize for how we cheer and get excited, but we're just glad that you can be a part of it as well. Lord, we just pray, Father God, over this message. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just share it the way that you shared it with me. I pray that people will be changed from the inside out, that we could live a generous life because of how generous you were to us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The name of this message is called No Strings Attached. No strings attached. For the people taking notes, no strings attached. I don't know about this, but isn't sharing hard? Anybody? Sharing is hard. Let's just be honest. Like no, not at all. Come on. Like the time you ordered one medium fry because your wife didn't want any, and then she says, "Can I have a bite of your fry?" You're like, "No! You told me then what? Don't tell me sharing is not hard. Come on. Who would believe sharing is hard? Okay, maybe it's easy to share something little, but when's the last time you shared something big, right? Like, sharing is hard. My wife shared on Mother's Day, and I want to push in a little bit more. One thing we taught Avery, our oldest, especially as we're getting older, is sharing is caring. Like, we're that family now. We are parents. Sharing is caring. And so if she is going to give something, she shares. Now, Charlie, on the other hand, she doesn't care if sharing is caring. She's like, "Yeah, that's great, but I'm not doing that. Like, that's not what I do." And she does not like to share. And Liz said one day, Avery was getting so mad at Charlie. And she's like, "Avery, you need to share with Charlie." And she goes, "Sharing is," and Avery's supposed to say caring, right? And she goes, "Sharing is," and Avery goes, "Not caring." Like, go on with your bad self. Like, I'm just like, I'm not messing with that one. Like, I don't know about you, but I've realized in my life that sharing is hard. It really is. Like, when you look inside of your life, it can be hard to share some things with other people. It can be hard to share your time. It can be hard to share not just your resources. It can be hard to share what God has blessed you with. It can be hard to share your Sunday to come to church because it's Memorial Day weekend. But you made it, and you're here, and you're doing it. It's hard. It's hard to share. It's hard to share. And I just want to be real with you. Sharing is generosity. That's what we're talking about today. When you leave this place, you'll see on our wall, one of our values says, we have a heart of generosity. Sharing is generosity. That's what generosity means. It's giving freely. It's sharing freely. And so in this story, I want to talk about what happened with Zacchaeus to get to a point that he would share freely and what that looks like. The first point I want to talk about is this. First off, it's hard to be generous with what you are attached to. It's hard to be generous with what you are attached to. Now, let me help you understand what the word generosity means before we continue to dig down deeper. Generosity, I saw a really good definition of it, and I loved it so much that I was like, I'm going to use this one. It means the virtue of being unattached to material possessions. A virtue of being unattached to material possessions. This does not mean having possessions is a bad thing. I want to let you know this. This does not mean that because you have money, you're in trouble. The root, right? It says money is the root of all evil. People say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's okay to have possessions. It's not okay for money to possess you. And so in this story, we're learning about that. So virtue of being unattached to material possessions. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are all attached to something in our life. We have a tendency as believers in Christ to be attached to things that maybe we're not supposed to be attached to. And maybe you came in today attached to some things that you don't want to be attached to, but you're still attached to it, and you've been trying to detach from it. And Jesus wants us to live a life that's detached from worldly possessions so that we can share freely when those times come up, so that we can build the kingdom of God. Now, as we look at case study, Zacchaeus in this case, who was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. That's the song we used to sing. Everyone changed the word Zacchaeus to Sean was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I'll get 14 posts on Facebook today because everyone's like, hey, Sean preached about Zacchaeus. That's so funny. How ironic. And I'm like, hey, were you listening? Anyways, you see, I look at this story, and we have to realize that it's hard to be generous with what we're attached to. It says in verse 8 that we find out that Zacchaeus actually didn't just have wealth, but he was possessed by his wealth. Because look at what it says after he has an encounter with Jesus. It says, Zacchaeus said, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That statement right there showed that he was riding dirty, right? That statement right there showed that he wasn't just have riches. He wasn't just wealthy, but he actually got that wealth from selfish gain, cheating people, hurting people. He actually showed right here that he didn't just have possessions. Possessions had him. And he was attached to wealth. I know we're talking about generosity and what that is, and we have to realize that generosity isn't just something we do. It's who we are. Generosity is not like, oh, I got to be generous. No, it's who we are. Jesus was generous with his life. Church shouldn't be, I'm generous this week and not next week. It's a lifestyle. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's how we see. Everything we breathe, we are generous with what we have been given. And in this story, Zacchaeus said he was actually possessed by his possessions. Now, it's funny that we talk a lot about demon possession. Jesus casted out the demon. And he cast out the unclean spirit. And those are some intense stories. But we just kind of graze over this because this may not be, guys, this right here may not be a demon possession. This may not be a demon exorcism, but this is definitely a money exorcism that we're witnessing right here. Oh, we don't talk about those exorcisms. We talk about the demon ones, but not the pride ones. Not the resources ones. This is why we get so much pushback when we talk about money, because he says, just the same as this thing is possessing you as a demon, he says, I'm not doing a demon possession now, I'm doing a possession. And sometimes, I'm telling you, it looks the same. People start squirming in their chairs, they start walking this way, they start, because I have to give some stuff away. Let's just be honest today. Let's be honest. I've seen two people react the same way. It's when you talk about demon possession and money. And they squirm. And they move. But Jesus said, I'm not here just for a demon possession. I'm here now to get an attachment possession out. And I believe God wants to do that in our lives today. There's some things that we are attached to that he says, you were created not to just keep that to yourself. I have met your need and given you more so you can give back and build my kingdom. You need to stop being attached to what I ask you to detach from so you can give freely. We share freely. We build the kingdom of God freely. He said in Zacchaeus' case, Zacchaeus, he had to pay back because he cheated people. So in this case, we are attached to something. Zacchaeus was making money moves. Cardi B, no one. God, the money moves, thank you. Instead of making Holy Spirit moves. And a lot of times we look at it and we realize that he was allowing the money to possess him and to make decisions. He was cheating people, and he was hoarding it together. And I don't know about you, but we're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to move us. But if we're not careful, the possessions we have will actually make us determine where we go, how we spend, who we bless. And instead of Jesus moving us, our resources move us. I can tell you firsthand as a pastor of a growing and thriving church, we took more risks sometimes when we had 75 people because we had no money. We had nothing to lose. But when the bank account gets bigger and more people are coming and God says, take the storm, get a new building, and you have to spend $32,000 instead of $300. It's harder to take that move. Why? Because money can move you. And he says, I don't want money to move you anymore. I want my spirit to move you. We talk about the Holy Spirit here, and he wants to move some hearts today to be generous because people's lives are at stake because of it. People say, God doesn't need your money. I agree, but he also uses people to finance the kingdom of God. And if we hold on to it, we may just miss out on a move of God that he wants to continue on, not just in Pontiac, not just in Livingston County, but revival in Illinois as we plant churches in rural Illinois to see people change for the kingdom of God. But it takes generous people to fulfill a generous vision. So what are we attached to? Is it riches? Maybe we're attached to our time and our schedule. Maybe it's your schedule that possesses you. Your time. You don't have time for anybody besides yourself and your own things. Resources, maybe there's some. See, I want to talk about more than just money. You have things in your life that you can bless other people with. Your resources can move on the kingdom of God. Maybe it's personal comfort, right, Jim? Maybe it's personal comfort. And we're going to talk about these two things, but we have to realize this. We can't share freely what we aren't freed from. It's hard to share freely when we aren't free. I'm telling you, it's hard to share and be generous with what you're attached to. Just ask my wife if you want a bite of her Blizzard or a brownie. It's hard to be generous with what you're attached to. On a serious note, maybe the reason you're sharing isn't because you're not generous. It's because you're attached to it too much. But there's hope. Because here, my heart is, I never want to be surface and be like, just be generous. Go do that. That might last for a couple weeks. But something was spoken over me when I was a young kid that said, Sean, you're going to do heart surgery in people's lives. And I was like, I don't like blood. I don't know what you're talking about. And now I realize they says, don't just talk about surface issues. Cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And so I'm not going to say be generous. I'm going to show you how you can detach from the things that you're attached to today. And that's the second point in the story is this. Attachment will lead to detachment. Attachment will lead to detachment. We see this in Jesus' story. We see this with Zacchaeus as he has an encounter with Jesus and he's attached to his wealth. And after we don't know what happened at dinner. We don't know what happened in that place. But we do know that Zacchaeus came out giving back his possessions to everybody, which meant that when he had an attachment with Jesus, everything that he was attached to, he began to detach from. And the only way you'll detach from things in your life that are hurting you and breaking you and holding you tight is when you attached to Jesus. There's no three-way step and behavior modification. I'm telling you, the answer has always been Jesus. It will always be Jesus. And when you attach to him in his life, the other things just don't matter. They don't. The gospel's that good. Jesus is that good. When you realize what you have in Christ and you attach to that, you can detach from the things that you think are worth it. Because when you attach to Jesus, everything changes. I thought about when I went to it's like those friends, you know, where you're hanging out with them all the time, and the next thing you know, we're like, where'd they go? What happened? Where are the friends at? They got a girl or they got a boy, right? You know exactly what happened. They got attached to a relationship, and you're like, what happened? When Liz and I were in Tulsa, when I started hanging out with her and meeting with her, we decided that we were going to start dating. And as we were dating, I had a couple of friends as interns and just close friends who were girls at that time, and I hung out with them all the time. We would go places, and I didn't see them as that relationship, but I was still kind of rough around the edges. So as people were saying, hey, Sean, as you are dating Liz and thinking about marriage, you may need to work on these relationships because you're just, you know, hanging out with these girls a lot. And I didn't see anything about it because we'd joke all the time. And so Liz had a heart-to-heart to me, and she just said, listen, like, I know this is hard for me to talk to you about, but as much time as you spend with this girl, I know she's like your best friend before we met and you have a good time, but it's hard for me to see you and just her hanging out, going on, you know, going and getting dinner, going and eating, even though it's just weird. And Sean's like, you are doing that to Liz? How dare you? No. Talk about money moves, right? Like, and so I looked at her and she goes, I'm like, so what are you asking? She goes, it's just hard. Could you, maybe you, if you spend time, if it's a group of people, but just not spend time by them, maybe detach from that relationship a little bit. And I wasn't like, oh, well, all I had to do was just look at her one more time. It's like, girl, you have all that I need. If you need me to detach from some people, I'll do whatever it takes. You sing good. You love Jesus. You are hot as all gets out. I can't take it. You just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. And some of you need to get to the point that when you realize that Jesus is all you need, it doesn't matter what's trying to gain your attention. If you see him, you're like, everything I need to detach from, I'll leave it. If you want me to give it, I'll give it. If you want to detach from things in your life, you have to attach your heart to Jesus. Because when you find out that he's all you need, money won't satisfy the way Jesus satisfies. That house won't satisfy the way the house satisfies. The Harley or the cars or the sports or everything that you have won't satisfy. Sean, I can't ride my Harley. No, ride your Harley. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to say that when God says, will you give it freely, will you give it freely? Because that's where he wants our heart to get. I love my house, but I'm telling you, and I'm scared to say this, if God said, give that house. All right. Sean, you would not do that. Bet me. I've lived too long enough not to be obedient to God, because if he says to do something, I know rewards on the other side of it, and he wants to bless me and my family, and someone may just get saved out of it, and I am too dumb, I guess, to live. I'm too dumb not to do it, because God is that good. God is that good. And so I want to encourage you that attachment will lead to detachment. And if we want to continue to realize this, if we want to see this more, the more we're attached to the show on Netflix, we'll detach from the God time that we're supposed to be sending. And when we're attached to social media, we detach the family time that we're supposed to be sending with our kids. When we attach to gossip, we get detached from flourishing friendships. But it works the other way, too. If we're attached to generosity, we get to detach from greed. If we're attached to healthy relationships, we detach from stupid decisions, waking up where we don't know where we are. If we're attached to God's word and the Holy Spirit, we're detached from the things that would try stealing life from you and I. Attachment will always lead to detachment. If we really want to see this at play, Jesus was attached to the cross so you could be detached from your sin. If we want to see what Jesus did, he said, I want them detached from their addictions. I want them detached. And he was attached to the cross, the cursed tree. And because of his attachment, we can detach from the sin in our life. And because he was attached to the Holy Spirit, he detached from the grave. And I just sense God detaching some people today from the things that keep holding them into the grave. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It lives with you. And if you attach yourself to it, I'm telling you, those things have to detach. Those things have to fall. Those addictions have to leave. Those fears have to fall. The anxiety has to flee. I just feel like preaching until some detachments fall off today, because now when it gets quiet, I know you're realizing there's some things in your life. The focus is not focusing on what you need to detach from. It's focusing on who you need to attach to, and his name is Jesus Christ, the name above all names. I used to preach so much about just leave this and do that and look at this, and God, the last couple years, has worked and said, Sean, how have you detached from these things? Just by attaching to you, Jesus. Just by following you. Is there a reason why Jesus said to the disciples when they were 19, called the sons of thunder, obviously sinners, people are like, why are they following him? Why is he calling these people? He says, hey, come and follow me. And when he said that, James and John dropped their nets, left their fishing boat, left their family. They detached when Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. You see, when we attach to Jesus, we begin to detach from the things that try holding us back. Now, I don't want this to be an excuse like, I've been trying to detach from my husband for years. Thank you for saying that. No, don't twist my words. If you don't want your relationship to detach and your husband, maybe attach to Jesus and watch him work. I'm saying that when it comes to generosity, when it comes to Zacchaeus' story, what happened was he had an encounter with Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus, and because of that, he led to detachment from his generosity, and he gave it back. You see, Jesus lived detached from possessions, time, and personal comfort, because he was attached to his Father and his Father's mission. So in this story, it says Jesus was passing through, right? He was just going through. He did not even know Zacchaeus. He was just walking through. Some of us are just walking through life, and we're missing out on what God has for us. He's passing through. He has his time. He has his schedule. He has his squad, and he's passing through. And Zacchaeus catches his eye, and he sees Zacchaeus. And in that moment, because he was so attached to his Father and so attached to seek and save who are lost, it actually interrupted his schedule. He was generous with his schedule. It said that he was interrupted. He was passing through. He noticed Zacchaeus and said, I'm going to spend the whole night with him. I'm telling you, when you attach yourself to the Father and to His mission, you'll detach from your resources and from your time and from your schedule. That's why there was people in the parking lot. That's why there's people watching your kids, because they realized if we have the mission of Jesus Christ, then we'll detach from our personal schedule if it means someone else finding Christ. And Jesus was passing through. And He said, because I'm so attached to my Father and His mission, I have got to stop. I have got to stop. I can't pass. Do you know those moments where you're walking and God says, you need to stop. You need to take care of that person. You need to do this. And you just keep trying to pass through like, I got to stop. I got to be somewhere. I got to go somewhere. He says, are you willing to sacrifice your personal comfort? Are you willing to sacrifice your schedule and your time for the sake of the kingdom of God? I would honestly say, yes, resources, God uses it to advance, but one of the most priceless commodities we have today that the enemy is stealing from a lot of people is time. So many people are busy. Hey, how was your week? Busy. Why? Why? Maybe if you're too busy, you need to set up some margin. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. Jesus wants you to have time for the gospel of Jesus. He was passing through, and it said in Scripture, verse 9, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that's what it means to look like Jesus, is when we seek and save the lost. Our church says we're here to look like Jesus, so we're going to seek and save the lost. So many of us live detached from the people we are called to love and reach because we're so attached to our time, our money, and our resources. Let me say that one more time. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. So many of us live detached from the people we are called to love and reach because we are so attached to our time, our money, and our resources. And I could also say our personal comfort. Our personal comfort. I'm so grateful Jesus attached himself to the cross so I could be detached from my sin. Why was Jesus so generous with his time? Jesus attached himself to God and God's mission. So John 15:5. So how do we do it, Sean? How do we detach from, so that we can share freely in what God is doing? We do it by attaching ourselves to Jesus and to his mission. John 15:5, Jesus says, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, if you're severed from me, you can't accomplish anything. But if you remain in me, I will remain in you. He's saying, stay attached to me. Stay attached to me. So first off, when you attach yourself to Christ, why? When that happens, the bad fruit will fall off. He says he'll prune it. It hurts, but it's good. Matthew 28:18-20 says this. Now that we're attached to Jesus, we have to attach to his mission. Before Jesus, after he died, he rose again. He looked at his disciples before ascending into heaven. The Holy Spirit was going to come 49 days later to empower the disciples to live as Jesus lived, which we have now, which means we shouldn't walk away defeated all the time. We shouldn't come on Sunday drained. We should all become filled up because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus says this. He came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Disciples means people who are learning the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So here's what we need to do. Jesus said, attach to me. And before I leave, I want to tell you the most important thing. Here's your mission. There's no other mission. This is our mission as believers. Go into the world, preaching the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Seek and save the lost. That's why I can't stand when people accuse our church of being, oh, they're just there for the outsiders. You better believe we are. That's what the gospel is. A church for the broken, not the healthy. And as soon as we just become a church for the healthy, we lose business. And what happens is Jesus said, will you attach not just to me, but will you become a church? Will you become a people who attaches to the fact that you will use your resources so people can experience Christ? We say it like this at our church. Our vision is an authentic church where people are learning to look like Jesus in their everyday lives. We are a place where people can be real with their struggles without judging them, where people are learning because it is a progress, it's a process, to look like Jesus, because we believe if we look like Jesus, everything will change in our community and their everyday lives. Wherever you work, wherever you're at job, wherever you're at school, that's what our vision is. That's our mission. We are to look like Jesus, and if Jesus came to seek and save the lost, then we'll attach that mission, even if it means we have to detach from some things we love. And I remember thinking about this. We were saying this when we were in the living room, and there was about 10 people. Then we said it when we were at one experience, and then it started filling up. And because we were attached to the vision, we said, we're going to have to go to two. And it was easy to give more of our time. It was easy to give more of our money. It was easy to give more. Why? Because we were so attached to what God was doing that it didn't matter if he said, go, give, do whatever you need to do. We said at one experience, and then we became the two experiences. And that two experience, we said we need to move into a building. And now with the building, we are not going to stop here because we know that this is going to continue to grow. We're going to have more experiences, and we're going to have to plant in new towns because God is going to bless this thing that he's already blessed. But in order for us to do it together as a church, if we says give, we have to be attached to what he's doing. Are we attached to what he's doing in our church and what he's doing around us? Because Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. Sean, I want to be attached to God and money. Can't. You have to choose one or the other. If you're attached to money, then you'll definitely detach from God when times get hard. Happens every week. But when we attach to God and his mission and saving people, we'll detach from the things that we need to be generous with. I know God's working in your heart right now on what those things are. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit continue working on that. And the last thing is this. Our detachment will lead to others' attachment. Our detachment will lead to others' attachment. Sean, I'm so confused. First you say we need to attach so we can detach, and now you're telling me that when we detach, other people attach. Did you see Zacchaeus' story? Jesus was passing through. He saw Zacchaeus, and because he was sold out to the mission to seek and save the lost, he actually detached from his schedule, from his time, and said, I know I need to be at this place. I know I'm heading here, but Zacchaeus needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus detached from his personal comfort and his schedule, at that moment, Zacchaeus became attached to God, to Jesus, and he was set free and saved. Did you know that when you attach to Jesus and detach from things, those detachments can lead to other people's attachments? How do I know? Because people, again, are detaching their time to serve this house. Serving, opening doors, making coffee, praying for people, encouraging people, singing on stage, preaching, doing the offering. How do I know? Because every time they give their time and their resources, we have seen so many hands go up this year already. Over 80 hands go up and say, I will receive Christ in this moment. Why? Because they detach from their resources. Jesus detached from their resources. I was thinking about our girls and how they both had pacifiers growing up. And Avery, at 2 years old, we decided to take her passy away. And she wasn't very hard. She kind of fussed a little bit for a night, but after that, she was good. I think the main reason why is because she had a purple bunny in her blanket that she is now attached to, but we'll take all care of that later, as long as she doesn't have a pacifier in her mouth. But she kind of whined, and she was good with it. Like one night of not getting sleep till like 1 in the morning, that was it. Charlie, our leader, gifted to be a trailblazer. We took her passy away about a month ago. And up to this week, every night, where's my passy? And she cries, and she cries. I remember for the first 3 weeks, she screamed until about 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. We're just like, pray for us, I'm losing my mind. And she'd finally fall asleep. We'd be like, thank God. And then the dog would bark, and she'd wake up, and she couldn't soothe herself back to sleep. And then, bah! She was so attached to that thing, so attached to it, that she didn't want to give it up. But you know what? I didn't want to be a father who had an 8-year-old walking around with a passy in her mouth. So I was like, let's just bear through this. We are not giving her this. I don't want my child to be going to her first day at school. And they're like, but that was my child. Go for it. I just didn't want my child to do that. My child's 15 and still has one. Now we have problems, all right? And I thought about that, and I was thinking about that, and I just want people to know, like, it's cute when you see a kid with a passy, like, oh, that's cute. But there's a time when people say, it's not cute anymore. I don't know, but the word of the Lord for some people today is, it's not cute anymore. It's not cute anymore. Oh, I just don't give, it's whatever. I'm just new at this, I don't know, it's not time. Oh. And we're like, that's cute, that's adorable, it's like the first couple weeks, and then 2 years later, oh, I just don't give, I just don't do anything, I just make sure I come and don't contribute, I love this, I'll complain about everything in here, but I don't do anything about it. Oh, too real? Because we have people sitting here for 3 years, the music's too loud, the light does this, I can't believe they painted it that color, and you haven't got your butt in the parking lot once? Is this too real now? I'm talking to, now if you're here and you're like first time, just sit back because I am now letting it go on people who are. What I see when I see you is I love you and I want God's best for you, but I see. It's not cute anymore. I know that God told you to forgive him 3 years ago and it was cute, but it's been 3 years later. It's not cute anymore. You need to forgive them. You need to move on. You need to give some of your resources. You need to bless some people who bless you so you can sit in the seats you're sitting in. It's not cute anymore. If Zacchaeus had a moment to experience Christ, and in that moment, he gave half of his wealth and then four times back to the people he cheated. He got rid of the pasty. Some people need to realize it's time for me. This isn't cute anymore. I need to get people to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:6-9 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. If you're complaining about your crop, it's probably what you're sowing. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's why when Jim says, you might want to give when it's hard to give, because here's the thing, when it's hard to give, we stop sowing. He says, that's when you need to sow the most, because when you sow generously, you'll reap generously. And that's the thing I learned, that I'm just going to live my life constantly sowing seed, because some seed has to grow up and produce a harvest. So I'm just going to keep sowing generously. But listen, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I love this. God will meet your need and plenty left over to share with others. Some of you are already living in the leftovers, and you're thanking God for blessing you. He said, I did bless you for your needs, but now it's time to bless others. When's the last time we prayed in the morning, God, don't bless me, but help me be a blessing to someone else? I'll tell you what a spiritual maturity grows up is, when you wake up and say, God, what can you do for me? He says, what can you do for someone else today? What can you do for someone else today? Our prayers will change when we realize we have everything in Christ. And God will generously provide all you need. Verse 9, the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. You see, guys, it's something deeper than being generous. I don't want you leaving saying, well, I guess I got to give. No. He says to give cheerfully. Why do we give cheerfully? Because when we give, people attach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus realized in this moment that what he was giving was nothing compared to what Zacchaeus would be receiving. And when we realized that our detachment from our resources will lead to someone's attachment to Jesus, I'm telling you, every single time, when you stop focusing on what you are giving and start focusing on what someone else is receiving, it will change your life. And you can give generously, but then God promises to take care of your needs too. And I have been constant example, Acts 20:35, of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. What is happening here? He says, we live our life, hashtag blessed, saying, I'm so blessed because everything I have. Jesus says, you're blessed by what you give. Yeah, you're blessed by what God's given to you, but he says the true blessing comes when you release what has been given to you. The true blessing comes with when you release what has been given to you. See, I hope I'm working on your heart today to realize that Scripture has this going to say you want to live a blessed life. It's not by what you get. It's what you give. Yes, I am blessed by what God has given me, my house, my cars. That's why that when someone says, hey, I need to borrow a car for a while, I don't really hesitate to say, you can use mine. It's been paid off. My parents took care of it when I was in college. They blessed me. It's a blessing, but it truly isn't a blessing if I don't let other people enjoy my blessing. We give freely. This is what happened in the first church. It said that they shared meals with each other. They gave freely to each other. We have to find the word blessed based on what we receive, not by what we give. So my encouragement to you is this. What are you attached to that the Holy Spirit wants you to detach from so others can attach to him? Some people look around and say, well, Sean, I wanted to volunteer and start serving my time, but I look around, it looks like you guys got it. Yeah, for the people who are coming now, but we're already thinking about the bigger church. We are a big church in a small town. If we have that mentality, well, it looks like we got it. He's saying, will you jump on board so we can reach more people? Will you be generous with your time and your schedule and your resources? I was so blessed. Pontiac Christian School was doing a raffle for golf carts. We decided, hey, we had to start parking people way in the back because our church is growing. Come on, good problems to have, somebody. That's awesome. But we wanted to start bringing them in on golf carts. We thought that'd be cool. And so we saw this opportunity. And so we put a church actually bought some raffle tickets to help Pontiac Christian. And guess what? We didn't win. But what blessed me was when I got there, they said, Sean, you may not realize this, but people in your church were actually buying raffle tickets for your church so the church could win it if they win. I was like, that I didn't care about winning the raffle now. What that showed me was you had the vision. You saw unchurched people who needed to get their butt in the church. You saw that need and you said, I will detach from whatever I need to detach from so we can make people comfortable that come to church for the first time. And so as a church, we have been blessed, guys. God has blessed us because of your giving. And so this week, just like this, we got to make a decision to pour into our community because we're not just a church for this be in Pontiac, we're a church for our community. And so this week, guess what we got to do? We went over to the Livingston County Food Pantry and we got to drop off a $1,000 check right there and say, hey, we want to bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing. We don't want to start a food pantry. We want to bless the one who's been in our town. But then, after that, we said, you know what? There's other people who need this help too. So then we went over and we went to Mosaic. If you don't know anything about Mosaic, it's a nonprofit organization that helps people with special needs, that helps them, provides houses for them. And these people work without anybody even noticing them. And we said, hey, we want to give you $1,000 to bless whoever you need to bless and do whatever you need to do. And then we went over to Hope Pregnancy Center. And we said, you know what? You are meeting the needs. When people don't have time to take care of these people, you didn't just say you would, but you measured up to it. We have people who volunteer there, and they help provide care for women who are pregnant who don't know what to do. And they have saved so many babies because they have taken time to talk with the women, to help them, to encourage them. And we said, we love what you're doing in our town. Here's $1,000. Use it to bless whatever you want to bless. It's pretty cool. Well, then we found out about Flanagan Community and what they're doing over in Flanagan. They've been in church now for almost 2 years, and God is blessing them, and they're growing, and we love church plants. We're a church plant, and we know how hard it can be to be in that position sometimes and not have the resources. So we said, hey, we love what God is doing. We don't know what you need, but here's $1,000 for you too so you can be blessed. Like, where's our money going? And this one may be weird, but then we're like, you know what? There's this new business that opened up in town that's making an impact for Jesus. They're called The Cup and the Scone. It's a coffee shop. They love Jesus. Some of our groups meet there. They play Christian music, and they continue to share the love of Jesus. And we said, hey, here's $1,000 that we would like for you. I don't know what you need. I don't know what it is. And so we got to give $5,000 in 1 week to our community because people like you give. God's good. God's so good. That's what it means. Yes, we've been blessed. And if we held on to that thing, we would be in the wrong. God has blessed us as a church to where we can go out and love our community and pour into our community. The church is not the church if it's not affecting the community around it. Now I want to make it personal. What are you attached to that Jesus is right now saying, it's time for me to attach to the vision of the church and to Jesus? And there are some things in my life that I know will affect people to coming to Christ. Because the truth is, once you do it and you see someone that got saved and baptized, it'll change forever. February took a lot of work to host Night to Shine. A lot of work. Crying at night, tears, didn't know if we were going to do it. Inconvenience, personal comfort, time and schedule. But y'all came and had a good time, right? Did you have a good time at Night to Shine? They had a great, yeah. Not just that, a couple of them came in, got saved the next week, and you two were baptized right here up front. Why? Because you got to share some love with some people at Night to Shine, and they invited you out to Authentic Church. And look at, they're on the front row with their hands up, lifting up Jesus. This is what it means to be generous. We love you guys so much. All of it was worth it. What is God asking you to detach from? You need to grab an application on your way out, start helping, start serving. There's some resources, because God's not done growing this place. And we're going to continue to be a blessing to our community. And we're thankful for what God is doing and what he's done in this place. So wherever you are right now, I want to encourage you, it's time to let go. It's time to lay it all down, and it's time to give it God everything we have. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing real fast. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're doing. I pray in this moment that you would work on our hearts. I pray that you would speak to us, move through us, encourage us. I pray right now, Father God, whatever you're asking us to give, we'd lay it at your feet right now, that we would write those checks, that we would give those resources, that we would bless people, because we see, Father God, that people get attached to you. Let us cling to you, Jesus, and everything you have, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you receive that word, come on, let's stand up on our feet. Let's sing it out to God. He deserves everything we have. Come on, let's be generous with our praise. Come on, let's give it freely to what God has given. Man, I do want to take one moment real fast, if you could lean in. It's been amazing to see that we can do this, but we can't do this first and foremost without Christ in our life. He changes everything. I had a sense in my heart that there's some people who came today looking for something, trying to find fulfillment. And listen, you can be generous all day, but if you haven't first attach yourself to Christ, you're not going to find the fulfillment you need. You'll be working for his salvation. You'll be working for his love. And here's the truth, that before you even were searching for his love, he loved you. And your biggest mistake and sin, he loved you. So right now, wherever you are, your works aren't going to get you right with God. Your faith is. Because he was attached to the cross. In that moment, we become detached from our sin and detached from our past. It says that those who believe that in their heart and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, he died for our sins and he rose again. It says their slate is clean and they are a new creation. Some people need to walk out today as a new creation. That's why you came in today. You came in to hear that message, but you have to put your faith in Christ. So we're going to say a prayer, and I want you to mean it from the depths of your heart. When we pray this, we're all going to say it out loud, but you're going to mean it. You're going to say, this is the moment I go from death to life. This is the moment the thing I've been looking for is in Jesus. Just as Zacchaeus had an encounter, it's my turn to have an encounter, and I'm going to attach myself to Christ today. I'm telling you, he will never let you down. Let's pray. Say, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for sacrificing your personal comfort so I could be saved. I need you today. I want to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. I choose you today, a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.